Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear our Lord speak in the words of the 9th chapter of Matthew, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Let us pray. If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul from death, that is the firmest ground of faith. Be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives all sins which you have done. You're justified by Jesus' blood, baptized you have the highest good. In the name of Jesus, amen. Authority is a very fundamental word within the pericope for today. Jesus claims to have a certain sense of authority. Authority is also a word that is greatly ignored within the church in the matters of discussion of what is the nature of authority. In early Christianity, there are two great questions. One of divine economy, that is to say, how God comes to us. And if God does come to us, we have life and salvation. So the conversation of the nature of the Holy Trinity first came about not if there are three gods or one God, but in early church is the question of the gospel. How does God come to me and declare me righteous? Thus, secondly, the great issue of the early church is one of authority. Who has authority to speak, preach, cast judgment in the name of Christ within the church? That this authority may be sure, that the heart may be comforted with such authority, the knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you are redeemed, and in fact that God himself has come to you. The two great questions. Authority was a word that has its beginning in Adam, the creation of Adam. Adam was created to have dominion over all of God's creation. Here we have Adam, and thus places the devil below Adam. But devil, with his own pride and desire to have control over authority, tempts Adam and Eve with the very words of authority. That is to say, that you can have the same authority as God, you can be like God, knowing good and evil. And therefore, the devil switches the order as Adam desires in pride that very authority of God and flip-flops, where now the devil has authority over man and over all creation. It's an authority issue. It places the devil thus over man. Is the idea that the devil wishes for us to have is to say that I have now authority over this world. You have authority over yourself and not God. The nature of sin is always one of the devil's temptation. One's desire to be equal or greater authority over God and one another. In pride we seek our own identity apart from God. It's a game in which we play. The question of where the authority lies, either we find justification with our own selves, or we find it within God. In my catechesis, in my catechism class, I would teach my kids, what do you do when you go into a demonic picture, a situation? Walk in the room, the person's hovering, you know, over the bed. No. When people are possessed of some nature. And as a pastor, you may experience some of these kind of events where it may not be the person hovering over the bed, but other circumstances that will definitely send something down your spine. But when you walk into such situations, the question is the question of authority. Is it somehow the demon wishes you to believe that he has some control over the situation? I ask my catechumens the very question of who's the opposite of God? And they always say the devil. Try it on people, ask them. They'll say the opposite of God is the devil, but the devil has no opposites. Or excuse me, God, oof, God has no opposites. God has no opposites. Perhaps the opposite of the devil would be Saint Michael, the archangel. But somehow the devil wishes to believe that he has equal opposition to God as God has the devil. But no, in fact, God has authority over all things. God has authority over the devil and of the entire world, not the devil. And that's what the devil, of course, wishes you to believe. Thus, the battle within our own lives finds its character like that of the devil, in pride always seeking our own authority, and thus an identity apart from God who judges. As a pastor, when I walk into someone's house, someone who is living in sin, the problem is not their sin, for we will die in sin. Sin will be with us until our own very grave. But the problem is the very fact that they do not believe in the authority of God. They do not believe in the forgiveness of sins, that there is forgiveness of sins, of those sins in which they commit. In other words, their trust is not in God and His authority, but in themselves. In the reading today, we find the scribes and the like who are groveling over our Lord's words that your sins are forgiven. It's not the fact they don't grovel over that He's healing, really. I mean, even who's going to argue over somebody healing someone else? I mean, we have hospitals, we invest all this money to heal us, operations, medicine, etc., etc. But somehow, when it comes to issues of authority, we can quickly get offended. You have no authority over me. How dare you say you have a certain authority I don't have? Or in our own day, you respect my opinion, I'll respect your opinion. Or you should not judge. What right do you have to judge? Somehow, when it comes to authority, it somehow taps into our own little pride, and we get a little offended by this, that, the other thing, because of the question of authority. So Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The scribes thus get a little bit upset. One might say thus it's because Jesus claimed to have an authority of God. Some people get upset and saying, how dare a pastor stand in front of the congregation and says, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What right does he have to stand before me and say, I forgive you, of course, in the name of Christ? Perhaps if Jesus was just simply a fellow rabbi teaching a little bit about his idea about life and not claiming a certain authority that these others did not have, things may have gone really well. But yet, the scribes are like you and I in many ways. We get offended when our hearts are examined. We get offended in many cases when certain people have a certain authority that we have not. Jesus, in fact, has that certain authority of God. By the very nature of the response of the scribes, our Lord claimed to be equal with God. The understanding of authority is on God's divine economy, of God coming to us as the Son comes to do the will of the Father, as He comes to us to forgive. Christ is the very voice box, the voice day of God. He is the one who speaks and judges the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. He is the one who divides. He is the one who either condemns or one who speaks comfort in saying, your sins are forgiven. I judge you righteous, holy, and without sin. I pray for mercy upon the preacher who places doubts in the minds of the hearers in regards to the sense of authority, or suggests that each individual has equal authority within the church, for there we fall into some sense of absurdity and confusion, not knowing where we're to find comfort in a certain authority that is able to speak and have that certainty of these words. But if everybody claims they have a certain authority, we only fall into our own pride, trying to find ourselves within our own selves. But Christ brings us back into communion with our Heavenly Father through our Lord's holy absolution and sacrament, as our Lord heals both our body and soul, as we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. It is in this certain authority that we can be certain, without doubt, that salvation has come to us. Luther had said, "How do I know that I'm a Christian?" He says, "I've been baptized and received holy absolution. I received Christ's body and blood, and in these things that I know that I have life, that I am saved." Let us rest within God, dear Christians, and let us be certain that salvation has come to us without any question. For the God of this world, who has given life to us, has now bestowed this certain life to us now and forevermore. Now unto us, O Lord, now unto us, for thy name be glory, because of thy mercy and because of thy truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.